Let's take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. And you can also talk to your smart speakers. You can just say, hey, play ESPN Radio. They get it right to us. I'm Jason Fitz. Major League Baseball, we're starting with the headlines you need to know. You know that by now. Major League Baseball has a proposal out to the union right there for a 76-game season. So the latest proposal that the owners have made to the players on a return-to-play economic package offered a higher potential salary but less guaranteed money over a 76-game season. So it looks like they're asking players to take 75% of their prorated salaries over that 76-game season. It's about $1.4 billion in total compensation. So we'll see how the union reacts to it at this point. They've also brought in a playoff pool that would be about $200 million in revenue. So at least another proposal's out there. We've reached some key days at this point with Major League Baseball trying to figure out how to move forward. Speaking of move forward, the Titans moved forward without Jarrell Casey, and he doesn't appreciate it. He went on a podcast with Jason and Devin McCourty called Double Coverage and told them that he felt like the Titans treated him, quote, like a piece of trash. He points out, and listen to what he has to say here, quote, the part that is so crazy is if you give so much to them, especially when you come up on free agency and have opportunities to go somewhere else, especially the way it was going when we were there, 2-14, 3-13, those are some rough times. When you're a loyal guy and you feel like things are going in the right direction and you're that centerpiece, you got no choice but to fight it through. My mindset was to stick it out and things would get better. He reminds everybody that loyalty is something that, for whatever reason, we seem to demand from players when it comes to teams. We want them to take less. We want them to do all of these things. But then conversely, the teams can just give up on the players whenever they see fit. Lastly, on the headlines, Novak Djokovic speaking out about the U.S. Open, saying it would be nearly impossible due to, quote, extreme coronavirus protocols in place for the tournament at Flushing Meadows, New York. Remember, it's scheduled to begin August 31st, and it'll be the first Grand Slam to be played after the pandemic led to the suspension of the season back in March. The French Open postponed to September. Wimbledon obviously canceled. The suspension of the tennis season was last extended until the end of July. But Djokovic, three-time champion in New York, not sure the tournament's going to go ahead. He's made it clear he's spoken to people and that they're not sure whether or not it will be held. So we'll see what happens next for tennis as they figure out how to deal with this pandemic like everybody else is trying to. Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're asking you guys to chime in on the comments from Roger Goodell as the NFL came out Friday and spoke out in favor of supporting players in their ability to protest and being a better partner to players. I want to get a little of your take coming in. Anthony in Indiana, what's your take on Goodell's comments?
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. Mr. Goodell is a little confused on a couple of things because we are having a proposal, as I just heard while I was on hold. We've got a 76 proposed ball game season. I'm an old fart, pardon the vocabulary, over the national airwaves per the FCC communication rules and standards and policies and so on and so forth, like Sarah Spang has talked about over the last week or so. But I'm saying let's continue our interleague process, Cubs, White Sox, Yankees, Mets, on the condition you never put me behind a New York Jets jersey hat. Don't make me – I'm not a Jets fan. Giant, yeah, might be. Don't take away my NFL prime time and let the boys play the game of baseball because it's the national pastime, and then let the NBA continue business as usual. Let the NFL guys, Buccaneers, I'm saying Warren Sapp's my favorite receiver. Go Colts, go Buccaneers for football. Warriors, Pacers for basketball, NHL, Blackhawks, and Indy Fuel. What say you, Mr. Goodell?
Anthony, I am lost. Like I'm lost. Spencer, Connor, you guys, did I miss something? Like Connor, I'm confused by Anthony. Are you with me, Connor? Did I miss something?
No, I'm lost there.
Okay, good. At least Connor's chiming in. Lost. I mean, we're all lost. Anthony, you know what? It sounds like you're having the day I wish I was having. So after the show, and I've had maybe a few, we'll reconnect on that. Aaron in LA, let's get one more. Aaron, for the love of God, just save me here. Give me your thoughts on Goodell's comments.
Well, I understand Goodell's comments, but the ultimate gesture that he can make to go forward on everything, both in the NFL and in the world, you bring in Colin Kaepernick, squash everything you guys had prior to. If he wants to play, you give him the fair, legit shot he deserves. If he does it, you make him the head of whatever movement going forward so that the NFL can be the best sports league going forward in progression. And the world can see that, hey, sports is at the head of us going forward.
No, thanks for your take on it. I do agree with what you're saying there. Sports can be I mean, I've said it a million times over the last week. When you look at a sports audience, it's already an audience that, expects and respects and understands diversity, because you don't care who's sitting next to you as long as they're wearing the same colors you're wearing, right? Like, you don't care if you're a Raiders fan and you're in the bar, you don't care the background of where that person came that's sitting next to you. You love that person if they're also wearing a Raiders shirt. I've been all over the world wearing a Raiders hat and had people just start yelling at me from across the way because we shared fandom. Sports fans understand diversity and can be a huge part of keeping this conversation on track and moving it forward. Roger Goodell, if he's able to accomplish the what he's talking about and keeping the conversation on track and moving forward with owners and players aligned, man, the power that can come from a united NFL is one that I think could absolutely create real conversation that led to continued change. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Let's get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it comes from Marty Smith. He joined First Take. Yesterday was an emotional day for NASCAR. And as they continue to navigate these waters as well, Marty Smith joined Max and Dominique to talk about what was an emotional day for racing.
It speaks volumes, and it's extremely significant, Molly. And the reason that I say that is because it was not a NASCAR corporate decision to ask drivers to take selfie videos supporting racial equality and social justice. This was a driver-driven initiative born from a group text string that has the vast majority of the driving core within it. And that includes Bubba Wallace, whom you noted a moment ago, the only black driver at NASCAR's highest level, the Cup Series. And in that text string, Bubba has been extremely vulnerable and extremely informative and educational and forthright in telling his white peers what he's experienced as a black man. And that has opened their eyes. And then on top of that, one of the people who had his eyes opened is seven-time champion Jimmy Johnson, who was appalled at what he saw with what happened when George Floyd was killed. He was appalled with what happened when Ahmaud Arbery was killed. He was appalled when Breonna Taylor was killed. And so he took the initiative to call several of his black friends and listen. And then he, as a seven-time champion, has that definitive voice that is respected, and he galvanized the driving force to create a video that said they would listen, that they would stand up for social justice. So that's why it's significant. This was not a NASCAR initiative as much as it was a Jimmy Johnson, Bubba Wallace initiative.
I do think that it's significant because all of these, we talk about the corporations over and over in the leagues and the teams, they're putting out statements because they believe that that's what their clientele want to hear at this moment. It's mind-blowing to me to suggest that NASCAR, and maybe this is my own personal biases and my own misinformation, but the idea that NASCAR believes that their clientele wants to hear this right now blows my mind. But I do think that it's important to understand that this was player driven. It wasn't necessarily top down. So maybe it doesn't speak for what NASCAR believes their fan base wants to hear. And I do think that I find it kind of funny, honestly, to think of Bubba Wallace, because in these past week or so, I know that I've received a lot of calls from white people in my life who want to talk to me and want me to help educate them. And a lot of other friends feel the same way. But poor Bubba Wallace, the man's on a text string. He got to educate the whole NASCAR league. Like, all the drivers in NASCAR have to come to Bubba Wallace for some guidance and information. That man, I thought I was white whispering all week, but he is king white whisperer right now for educating all of NASCAR by himself. It's a lot of pressure for him.
It's not just that, Dominique. I mean, Kyle Busch is a two-time champion at the highest level of the sport. And he has a great relationship with Jonathan Stewart, the NFL running back. He took the initiative to sit down and have a conversation with Jonathan. Now, to your point about this movement, I talked to Dale Earnhardt Jr. yesterday for a really long time about it. Dale's always been an advocate for equality. Back when the Confederate flag was in trying to eradicate it from the NASCAR campgrounds and from the NASCAR culture was very newsworthy at that moment. And Dale was very outspoken that it didn't belong anywhere near a NASCAR track. And in speaking with Dale yesterday, He said, man, would this have happened 2 years ago? I don't know. Would this have happened 5 years ago? Absolutely not. There's no way, because it's very difficult and in some cases terrifying to stand up and say something, to stand up and stand for something and be an advocate and a channel for change, because people can misconstrue words. They can misconstrue messages. And nobody in the sport back then, even a few years ago, was really that interested in dipping their toe in that proverbial water. This is a big moment, because the one African American driver in the sport took the time to educate, and a 7-time champion whose voice carries great weight and who's universally respected, not only in NASCAR, but throughout sport, took the time to galvanize that driving force and say, let's do this. We're not going to let this stop. And it's not a one-time deal. We have to continue this message. It can't just be Atlanta. It can't just be yesterday. It has to be today, tomorrow, the next day, and 10 damn years from now. That is Jimmy's message to his peers. So, guys, look, I've been around the sport half my life. This is the 18th year that I've covered NASCAR racing. I'm a 44-year-old man. This is a new thing and an important thing.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. What Marty says right there so eloquently is something that I think we need to all be expecting as we watch whatever the favorite sport is through the rest of the year, if and when they come back. When you talk about it's a new thing, it's an important thing. These conversations are new and important to see so loud and so unified. No, they're not. They're not new at all if you've lived a certain experience in America. We know that, right? It's not new at all. If you're black in America, you've understood these conversations where you felt like you haven't been represented for so long. Seeing the unity in conversation that we're seeing now feels like things are different. And maybe it's just me. But it feels like it's different across the board for many people. And as it feels different, then you start to have to ask yourself, what's that going to mean when we watch the sports we love? As you look across the board, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's the NBA, we know that's already been so willing to be a voice, right? Whether it goes to the NFL and college football. I mean, we talked about it earlier. We now see college football stars speaking out against coaches because they feel like their voice can be heard. I think you're going to see a different version of your favorite sports this fall when you see a more unified willingness to use a voice, not just for the game that's being played, but also for more than that. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it loud for everybody that says stick to sports. I understand the stick to sports mantra, because what you want to do is you want to support somebody for what they do on the field or on the court. That's fine. You can choose not to consume what they say otherwise. Just like if you go to a concert, you can choose not to consume what that musician might think of what's going on in the world. You can choose to sort of zone out during the portions of the concert where you're not into whatever their message may be. But you don't have the right to tell somebody not to spread their message. And I think what we're going to see this fall are more athletes willing to speak out for what they believe in and for what's important to their heart. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to fault that. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. That leads us to another conversation about the NBA, because we just talked about, you know, the willingness to use your voice. Well, so much of the voice has been about what's going on in the world that it feels like COVID-19 at some point has really been shoved under the rug. It's less acknowledged and talked about, and it still has to be part of the conversation, because realistically, it's something we're all going to be dealing with as we watch our favorite sports attempt to return. It leads to a really fair question that we're not asking enough about the NBA. We're so worried about getting the product back on the court. Nobody's talking about whether NBA players should even be comfortable returning to play. Luckily, we were able to get some perspective on that today from Jay Williams, who joined Max and Dominique Foxworth to talk about whether or not NBA players should be comfortable and whether they should just feel natural getting back on the court.
You know, it's a complicated matter. I think first and foremost, there is an interesting sentiment growing among individuals of whether, you know, how to properly leverage the platform that is going to be given to them. Do they leverage that by playing and making comments in order to increase their runway and sustainability about this movement that is happening? Or do they feel like more leverage could be given if they decide to not play or not participate? And, you know, Matt Barnes reporting that last night, I had some conversations with some individuals, and it was interesting to see how there was a little bit of a divide there on how they should move forward. Me personally, I think the more in front of this, in front of the public eye that you can be, the better it helps you articulate your POV on the matter. And you have to think about the culmination of all sports that are currently happening right now. I think the players have more power by actually participating and playing and using the largest platform that maybe we will ever see in the history of sports, guys. We are talking about playoff madness. This is a combination for fans of March Madness and the NBA playoffs. The amount of eyeballs on these collective individuals are going to be bigger than ever before. And we're going to be seeing stances that are taken game by game. Guys are going to have platforms to address whatever issues that they are feeling are going to be pertinent. Obviously, I Can't Breathe is one that is the biggest of all time for us. And I think the players would be remiss if they didn't play. But I can understand how having this conversation about the power yielded is one that needs to be taken with a serious tone.
I think this is a really interesting topic. Pardon. Because on the one hand, everyone wants to watch basketball. On the other hand, it doesn't matter who your allies are. I'm not a black man, right? So the bottom line is, am I just a white guy who wants black men to entertain him playing basketball and make that a priority? I'm not going to do that. So I have to consider really the circumstances, take that out of the equation and think, if you think about it purely from a social justice point of view, how do you, as you mentioned, leverage the moment? Because the danger in playing is, I think the best case you can make is, if everyone's making money, then this moment in time that there's a feeling this could be a watershed, or this could be a real kind of turning point. Instead, you don't want it to go back to the status quo. And if business gets back to normal as much as possible, maybe you lose that moment and it goes back to the status quo. I think that's overridden. Even if I'm taking my kind of basketball fan goggles off, I think that's overridden by the increase in exposure and the kind of amplification and of the platform and the argument. If actually games are played, everyone is going to be watching. And now more than ever, let's not forget, the NBA is a league that was perceived, when I was a kid, to be too quote unquote black. And it was, the fear was, this was going to alienate middle America or white America. And so David Stern did things like have the strictest dress code in sports, right? You had to stand for the anthem. No. We're not going to give anyone any excuses. We're going to present ourselves professionally. And once enough leverage is gained, do you continue to do that and appease people who you want to listen to? Or do you say, okay, now wait a minute. We're going to use this with all eyes on us to say some things you need to hear. And I think this is the time, and I think it actually helps. So that's my best argument. Trying as much as possible to separate myself from my eagerness to see basketball played.
I think that it's eagerness to see basketball played bleeding into your opinion right there, because I'm not going to sit here and say that they should not play or anything. Like, it's your money, it's your career, it's whatever. You should do what you want. But bringing this up, if it is about capitalizing on this moment, I think that once they start playing games, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're not going to be talking about this moment. We're not going to be playing their post-game comments. We're not going to be playing what they say before the games. We're going to be talking about them playing basketball again and things feeling a little bit back to whatever normal is. So I think that not playing does, I think, advance the cause, and not playing for that specific reason. I do think that they also have a ton of leverage. For whatever reason, this reminded me a bit of, I think it was 1964, when the basketball players went on strike at the All-Star game, or went on the shortest strike ever at the All-Star game, to be able to be a union and to go after pensions. They had success because their leverage was so high in that moment, because people were so close to getting that game televised. I think the players are in another position right now. If this is something that is important to them and they also want to come back and play, they can use this as leverage to extract some more commitment from the NBA.
First take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. It's going to be interesting, and I'll say it again. We can't get so lost on everything else going that we forget that the NBA players that are being asked to play are still human beings. So there's going to be some real conversation about what they're comfortable doing in a COVID-19 world. And as easy as it is right now with everything going on to make COVID-19 less a part of the conversation, the reason that we don't have sports today right now in this moment is because of a pandemic. If a player's not comfortable putting their family in that situation, I won't fault them. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. We'll keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your take on Roger Goodell's comments, 888-729-3776. That's how you can join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. In the meantime, is Conor McGregor done for good? That is an interesting question. I think we all know the answer to, but you'll find out what the experts think. You'll find that out next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs, for protection on the road and the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes. You've got 3 minutes. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. I'm Jason Fitz. We're having you guys chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want your thoughts on Roger Goodell's comments Friday afternoon that were sort of buried late in the day about the NFL acknowledging that they need to be better support and listen more and have better conversation with the players on how players can have their voice be heard. It's a very public statement by the NFL that sets a new standard to what we should expect from them in action, in my mind. Now, you guys can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Getting a bunch of tweets that are really about the anthem. And, you know, I will say this again. This is not just an anthem conversation. I mean, the NFL coming in and saying that they're going to listen better means, in my mind, that they're going to find ways to allow players to use the NFL and their own voices together in an effort to try and create more conversation and more change. What's happening is that this is trying to be hijacked into the same conversation that we've had so many times before. I said it just a second ago on TV. I'll say it again now. The anthem conversation for many of you, the flag conversation, let's be real for a second. Like, I've spent the last week trying to be as open, honest, and raw with every single one of you as possible. So let's have an honest moment about the anthem conversation that everybody wants to turn this into. The reality of it is, this is like the uncomfortable Thanksgiving argument you know your family's going to have every single year. You're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change your mind. That's the reality for so many people. And while some of you will call in and say, you know what? I served and this is what I think. Guess what? There are people that work on the show that serve that don't agree with your mindset. So nobody's going to have one common opinion on what should be done at the anthem. So at this point, put the issue away if you think you're going to change anybody's mind. I'm trying to change my own perspective on how I can better use this microphone and my platform to make sure that we are having the real conversations that need to be had in this moment. And when it ties into sports, which this does right now because of the NFL's reaction, because of the NBA's reaction, because of the constant conversations we're having, all right, because it is a sports conversation, we are choosing to have the sports conversation. The sports conversation about all of it, not just about the one issue that nobody's going to change their mind on because nobody is listening anymore. What I want to do right now more than anything is listen. If there's anything I've learned over the last week in my life that I haven't done well enough, is listen. And I would just implore you at some point, no matter what you think on this issue, to sit down with somebody, sit across from somebody that doesn't agree with you, and for once, shut up and listen. Stop trying to batch your input into somebody else's conversation and listen to what people are saying. If you would stop and you would listen, maybe you would hear that this is not a conversation about the flag. It's not a conversation about the anthem. It's about a conversation of so much more. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I know, I'm fired up. We'll take your take on it. I love your take on it, and I'll have these debates. Tristan in Pittsburgh, always love it when you call, man. What's your take on Goodell's comments?
Hey, Jason, happy Monday. So the thing with this comment is that I render it pretty much meaningless until further notice. And the reason why I say that is because of what Lewis Riddick said earlier. I think the owners are the real ones that have to speak out on this, not Roger Goodell, not the NFL. Because Max said it earlier, the NFL is a corporation, and it's honestly just an affront corporation for the owners. If the owners really want this to be a change in the NFL, then they have to take action on that. They have to make a statement themselves. And honestly, a caller earlier said it, Colin Kaepernick should have a job in the NFL. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe even the New England Patriots, the Jaguars, could use a quarterback like that, maybe even as a backup, that you need to have actions from the owners in order to make this comment from Roger Goodell have any meaning going forward.
And I think that's it. Tristan, I appreciate your take on it. I think it's a fair comment to say, hey, the NFL needs to have action to back these words up. I will just give somebody, and you guys know, I'm not usually an apologist for Roger Goodell or the way the NFL does business. I will give them some credit here for speaking out, though. Because when you speak it into existence in such a public way, now you've just sent a message to your owners, you've sent a message to your players, you've sent a message to your fans. And that message at least allows to a different level of accountability. I mean, at this point, if Roger Goodell in the NFL does nothing, whether it's with Kaepernick or with anything else, if Roger Goodell in the NFL does nothing, hasn't he then put himself in a situation where players can come out and speak out and say, hey, we were told this? I think that's important. I mean, I have to give some benefit. While you're right, no statement means anything without action to support it. At some point, the fact that the statement was made to me still has some level of good that comes from it. There's some level of accountability created. I'll give credit for that. I'm going to take more of your take. A bunch of you guys are hanging on 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep debating it. In the meantime, Chael Sonnen joined First Take today to talk about Dominique Foxworth. He talked to Dominique Foxworth to talk about Conor McGregor, who over the weekend came out and just used UFC 250 in the headlines from it as a moment to tell all of us he's walking away from the sport. So Chael, Dominique, and Max talked about that today on First Take.
I think that's very fair. Look, I think there's a number of aces up the sleeve you can play for Conor McGregor. Look, Conor Mania is a very real thing. I was in Las Vegas for that Donald Cerrone fight that was kind of put together at the last minute. I should mention for you, this last minute fight is the fourth largest gate of all time, and Conor's got the other three. But the other side of the coin, what you're talking about, Max, is very fair. The guy's won one contest out of his last three. And by the way, why not go out on top? Because if he comes back, he's going to get mauled by Khabib. That might be what he's trying to avoid.
So what would you think? Let's assume for a second that this is a real retirement and Max is right that it's hard for him to get back up for another fight. What, how are we going to remember him? What is his legacy going to be as a fighter?
Oh, he was fun. He was fantastic. He was dynamic, and he also had multiple commodities. Most fighters only have one commodity, which is their performance. Conor brought something else to the table. He was interesting, and as simple as that word may sound, maybe even almost condescending, not a lot of athletes are interesting. Conor was a lot of fun. As far as his skills, I think he was ahead of his time. I think he was lightning fast. I think his fight with Floyd was very competitive. I wouldn't mind seeing him box again. But at the same time, look, his argument doesn't quite carry weight for me. He says, I'm retiring because Dana's not keeping me busy enough. Well, if you want to be busy, but your other option is to just never do it again, come on, guys, this doesn't make sense.
You're right. It just doesn't add up. Chael, you were always fun, too. Can we talk a little bit about UFC 250? Because it was incredible. And I want to start with the ladies. Amanda Nunes, please talk to me about how impressive her performance was.
Look, there is no sell here, Molly. She in many ways is like Roy Jones Jr., okay? And I know Max will agree with this. The greatest boxer of an entire decade, but he never had that one really big fight. The reason was people didn't want to watch a movie when they were pretty sure how the ending was going to be. It's one of those things. She's almost plagued by her own greatness. People need to start watching Amanda for the same reason they watched Michael Jordan. Greatness. Greatness is going to happen. Look, the only knock on her ever by her own teammates and coaches with this, she's a hurricane and no trees are left standing. But if somebody is, perhaps in what we call the championship round, she won't have enough left to defend herself. Wrong. She's gone the distance three times now. She's never faded one time. She's never even lost a round. She looks like she could go seven or eight rounds. This is the greatest fighter I have ever seen.
That's quite a statement, Chael. And obviously the history of the UFC, though it's getting longer and longer, is not as long as some other sport. And so we see goats, so to speak, come and go. In Roy Jones's case, he was so impressive because he could beat Bernard Hopkins with one hand earlier in their careers. And then later in his careers, you know, dance around James Toney and beat him easily. Toney and Hopkins, oh my God, but never really was pushed in his prime. And that's as much to do with the lack of competition other than the guys I just named as it had to do with his own brilliance. In Nunez's case, how much do you think it has to do with another super fighter not being there for her? And how much is it, maybe if you took her out, we'd recognize someone else as being a super fighter? You know what I mean? How much is the lack of competition and how much of it is she makes the competition look that way?
And Max, I love what you just said because it actually parlays to our previous conversation about Connor. Listen, Connor's star power, excuse me, is huge, but he also sucks all the air out of the room. If you remove Connor, you can build stars a lot faster. When you talk about Amanda, what more can she do? Not only is she giving everybody at 145 a chance to raise their hand and say, put me in, Dana, she then did it at 135. She has two different divisions and nobody's putting their hand up. I mean, look, what more can be asked of her?
So Sean O'Malley's one-punch knockout was probably the single, maybe most impressive thing of the weekend. What do you think we can expect from his future?
And don't forget, he did that against a former world champion. Sean O'Malley's 22 years young. He just took out a world champion in less than 5 minutes who also contested for the UFC championship and almost won it. I mean, look, that was a big crowning moment, and Sean is very creative. He's one of these guys, in between fights, the only thing that's consistent is that he gets better. You could sit down and study his tapes with the best trainers and coaches in the world, take notes, come up with a game plan. He's going to bring something we've never seen before. Joe Rogan has such a hard time calling this guy's matches because he doesn't even know the names of the moves. O'Malley's making stuff up.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're taking your thoughts on Roger Goodell's comments. I want to keep doing that. So we're going to keep taking your thoughts. I don't want to pinch anybody in against the break. So what we're going to do is when we come back, we're going to take more of your take. Plus, the NFL's their statements against racism. So that does lead to the question some of you asked on Twitter and some of you are talking about now. Will Colin Kaepernick be back in the league? You'll hear what First Take had to say about that next. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys are hanging out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to get more of your take. I want to give you guys the time to get in. Let's take one, and then we'll hear a little bit from First Take. Anthony in Indiana. Anthony, what you got, man? What's your take on Roger Goodell's statements?
Well, sir, first and foremost, thank you for taking my call. My station is ESPN 1000 MVP in Chicago, to be precise. I think Mr. Goodell is right on target on quite a few different things. To name him, for the amount of airtime I have been privileged and allowed to have, I'm thinking that they need, if they're going to do a proposed 70-plus games of Major League Baseball, they need to remember baseball first
okay.
and foremost.
Okay. This wasn't funny the first time, not funny the second time. I'm trying to have real conversation. Like, we were trying to give, you've called under a different name. You called earlier. I guess you think you're cute. I guess you think you're a big boy because you managed to get through a couple of times on national radio to be nothing more than an ass. All right. So thanks for wasting my time and wasting everybody else's time. I got no patience for that. We are trying to have open dialogues on this show. Connor is overworked already trying to get through, and I don't appreciate it. If you think you're awesome, good on you, but you're not. Chewy in California is always awesome. Chewy, what do you got, man? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, good morning from the West Coast. First off, that dude that just called again, number one, he hurt my brain the first time he called. Number two, maybe we shouldn't legalize marijuana throughout the country. Nevertheless, with what
don't ruin my Saturday nights, Chewy. What? No,
dude,
go ahead.
Sorry, I know. It's a daily thing. Nevertheless, let's move on, shall we? With Roger Goodell... Dude, what else was he going to say? He had to say this. Isn't it the league made up of 70% African-American? I mean, he had to step forward and say something like this. Otherwise, he was going to lose that league. I commend him for saying it, but I agree with what one of the callers said earlier. It's going to go to the owners, and it's going to go take even further than that. And it'll be the fans. A lot of people are going to have to get on board with this. Kudos to Roger Goodell for putting his best foot forward finally. Or, you know, maybe hopefully we haven't seen his best foot. You know, we celebrate breast cancer awareness. We have a month where the NFL wears pink. How much you want to bet that we start having a Black Lives Matter month? We're going to do something that's going to appease the players, make them feel that they're being heard, which, and I don't mean that sarcastically or in a negative way, because people, like you said earlier, we need to shut up, sit down, and we need to listen. That's what we need to do. And I could be just as guilty as that living, even though I live in Long Beach with a high, very, very diverse people that live here. I can fall into that category. I understand, and I can relate. But kudos for Goodell, and I don't know, man. What else was he going to say?
Well, Chewy, and I get it. There's a little cynicism. You're right. What else was he going to say? But in the past, we haven't seen the NFL sweep to the player's side on things. We haven't seen the NFL come out and speak on these things when it's not a win for the league. I mean, in my mind, the statements of coming out here at this point have put a different microscope on how we're going to view the owners. Now, the question is, what microscope is there on Kaepernick and whether or not he should be back in the league? Max and Dominique Foxworth talked about that. Hot point today on First Take.
It's too late. Like, I mean, I guess they can give him another chance, but he should turn it down. I don't think that they deserve to have him in this league, and they don't get to now put themselves, try to absolve themselves of what they were complicit in allowing to happen. So I think that Cap had a several-year period where he was trying to get back in the league, and he couldn't find a way outside of that kind of sham of a tryout that they tried to use, as Max said, as a Trojan horse to get him to sign away some of his legal rights. Outside of that, he hasn't gotten a real legitimate shot. So anybody who comes out now and says, I wanted to sign Cap, or if the league comes out now and says, we are going to try to do our best to get Cap in, like, it's too late. You did what you did. Where was all this energy back then? So, and I also think that he shouldn't give them that. He should not give them that. If they come and offer him a contract, I think he should reject it, because they don't get to now put themselves on the right side of this issue.
I see two arguments that supporting your point. You just mentioned essentially the co-opting of the protest and the counterculture, which is now mainstream culture, by the NFL, who resisted it for so long and denied Kaepernick his fair chance, his right to make a living, because they operate a de facto monopoly. The NFL has a greater responsibility to make sure that Kaepernick has a fair chance at a job than just some other kind of business. Because if you're the best in the world or among the best in the world at what you do, and what you do is football, to make a living, you got to play in the NFL in North America. I mean, that's how it works. So that's one, the co-opting. And I think there's some truth to that. He serves good purpose. Maybe you could argue more powerful as a symbol of martyrdom, you know, as a martyr for the cause, than he does if the NFL co-opts him.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And, you know, Max makes an interesting point, and I'll go back to what I asked. I think it was Myra Metcalf last week when we were talking about whether or not Cap should have a job. I mean, is there a point now where we look at it as just this moment of saying, well, they had to do it? I mean, it's sort of a no-win situation for everybody. But as Myron pointed out smartly in that moment, it is a win for Kaepernick. He gets the opportunity to win, gets the opportunity to play, I should say. All eyes are going to be on Kaepernick is one example. But again, I will say this till I'm blue in the face. We can't let Colin Kaepernick or the anthem conversation hijack the rest of the conversation of what we're trying to have here. This is one portion of a very important conversation that's really, frankly, about so much more than that. It's about equity. It's about social justice. It's about making sure that we're giving everybody the treatment that they deserve in the world. That's all far bigger, and I don't want the twisting emotion behind what we've already seen in the past with the Colin Kaepernick conversation to dominate the conversation to a point that we get lost and we get off track to what we're really trying to talk about. I love the fact that we've been able to be so honest with you guys. It's part of what I love the most. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News.